Audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
Sometimes when we study Bible prophecy, we can't see the forest for the trees. We hear terms like Antichrist, Millennium, Second Coming, Rapture, and it's all very mysterious to us.
Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie helps us to decode those mysteries. We'll look into the Bible to see what the Lord wants us to know about what's coming during the last days.
God's desire is to reveal, not to conceal. He's laid it out in Scripture.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again, you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
Some believers have confused the sequence of last day's events and just how quickly it could all unfold. And they've left with more questions than answers. Does the rapture come before the millennium or after? And where does the second coming fit in? On A New Beginning, Pastor Greg helps clear up any confusion as he digs into one of the most descriptive passages of Bible prophecy. We're glad you're along for more of his series called God Came Near from all four Gospels.
You know, when I turn on the news, I'm shocked by the things that are happening in our world today. In some ways, it seems like the world is on fire. And by the way, I'm not talking about global warming or climate change. I'm talking about the massive eruption of Islamic terrorism. We have not seen anything like this in modern times. I wouldn't say we've never seen anything like this because there is a pattern to this that we'll talk about in a future message. But in modern times, this is unprecedented. Christians being crucified and beheaded. Children being raped and slaughtered. It's become so commonplace, I don't even know if we're shocked by it anymore. And then we have their clear declaration as to who they think their enemies are. They call them Satan and the great Satan and the little Satan. In other words, America and Israel. America, once the world's policeman, has stepped back from that global position. We are in a state of military and economic decline. That's not even to mention our moral and spiritual decline. And unless we change our course quickly in this country, this is only going to accelerate. Without America's bold influence, it brings massive instability globally. And guess what? This all plays in to the last days scenario predicted in Scripture. Because the Bible actually says in 2 Timothy 3:1, in the last days, perilous times will come. As another translation puts it, in the last days, there will be terrible times. Luke 21:25, Jesus says, there'll be distress of nations with no way out. Now, this is kind of a no-brainer, but think about this. We have never been closer to the return of Jesus Christ than we are at this moment right now. You know, it seemed that for a time, a number of months would go by and there'd be an eruption somewhere, a conflict somewhere, something had happened in the Middle East or some other development that would say to us, wow, that sounds like a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. But then it would be weekly and sometimes at this point, it seems daily. But here's what you need to know. Everything is going according to plan. That is God's plan. None of this escapes his attention. He's laid it out in Scripture. Now, we're in a series that we're calling God Came Near, which is a chronological look at the life of Christ from all four Gospels. And that brings us to Matthew chapter 24 that is alluded to this particular message, also known as the Olivet Discourse in the other Gospels as well, Mark and Luke at least. And the Olivet Discourse, which is what this message of Jesus is called, is probably the greatest end time prophecy in the entire Bible. It's significant to note that these words were given by Christ himself in response to the question, what will be the sign of your coming? In other words, the disciples were asking, When will we know it's close to the time of your return? How will we know we're living in the last days? And what follows is a specific response of Jesus. And listen, you have no more authoritative source on this subject than God himself. God in human form, Christ himself, is giving us these words. And by the way, this is the longest answer Jesus gave to any question in the New Testament. So this is rather lengthy what he says. He goes into great detail. So let's see what Jesus says now about the end of the age. Matthew 24, starting at verse 3. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered and said, "Take heed that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they'll deceive many. And you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. But see that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. These are the beginning of sorrows. They'll deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake, and many will be offended and will betray one another and hate one another. And then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness shall abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then will the end come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel and the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand." Let's stop there. Look at verse 15. "Whoever reads, let him understand." Sometimes people will say, it's too hard to understand Bible prophecy. I beg to differ. God's desire is to reveal, not to conceal. In fact, the very word revelation means unveiling. And that's why we have our Lord saying, "Hey, let the reader understand. Pay attention to what I'm saying to you."
We're digging into what the Bible tells us about the last days, and we're clearing up some of the confusion that surrounds this topic in Pastor Greg Laurie's message called "Ready or Not, Here I Come." Let's continue.
Here we have a description effectively in Matthew 24 of the Great Tribulation period, starting with the emergence of Antichrist and ending with the return of Jesus Christ. Verse 5, "Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." The tribulation period ends with the return of Christ to the earth. Verse 30, "Then will the Son of Man appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." No, not with Greg Laurie, great glory. Though I hope to be there when he does come back. So first we will see the emergence of Antichrist. Now, sometimes when we study Bible prophecy, we can't see the forest for the trees. We hear terms like Antichrist, millennium, second coming, rapture, the two witnesses, the 144,000, and it's all very mysterious to us. So let me give you sort of a basic flyover so you could see sort of the big picture of what is about to happen. It is my opinion that the next event on the prophetic calendar will be the rapture of the church. Right before that, or right after that, it seems to me would be the time of the invasion of Magog against Israel, spoken of in Ezekiel 37, 38, and 39, that large force from her north. We'll talk later about who Magog and her allies may be. Shortly after that, Antichrist emerges on the scene. He effectively inaugurates what we call the Great Tribulation period that lasts for 7 years. Now, the first half of the tribulation period, 3.5 years, is a time of relative peace, sort of like Rome imposed peace and the Pax Romana, forced peace. But many will hail the Antichrist as a great leader. Some will even think he's the very Messiah. But at the halfway point, after he's helped the Jews rebuild their temple and desecrates it. That's the abomination of desolation. Antichrist effectively shows his true colors. Begins to persecute Jewish people, Christians as well. No one can buy or sell without his mark. We'll deal with that later. But then comes the tribulation period, cataclysmic earthquakes, massive famine and war like we have never seen on this planet before. Verse 7, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes. So the tribulation period culminates with the battles of Armageddon fought in the valley of Megiddo. Actually, the word Armageddon, Harmageddon, comes from the root word Megiddo. So it's really a description of where the battle will be, which is right there in the Middle East in this massive valley. And then Christ returns in the second coming. We as believers return with him. And then that inaugurates the millennial reign of Christ. 1,000 years of peace. This is when the lamb is with the lion and the child takes his pet rhino for a walk and can play in the adder's den, the venomous snake and so forth. Will not harm them. And so then after that, we have the fulfillment of the prayer of our Lord when he said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. At the conclusion of the millennial reign, the new Jerusalem comes down from heaven to the earth, and effectively heaven and earth become one. So that's the big picture. Now let's come back to what Jesus is specifically talking about in verse 1. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to show him the buildings of the temple. Mark's version of this has the disciples saying, look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. There was no hyperbole in this. Fact is, the Jewish temple, the second temple, the first temple was built by Solomon, the son of David. The second temple was rebuilt by King Herod. This particular edifice was considered one of the great wonders of the ancient world, a magnificent structure. The Roman historian Tacitus said it was a place of immense wealth. Some of the stones measured 40 feet by 12 by 12 and weighed up to 110 tons. Now, when you stop and think about the fact they didn't have modern construction equipment, this was built by people, it's mind-boggling. It had been under construction for 46 years. So you think your building plan is taking long? 46 years. It was nearing completion when this event happened that we're reading. Then Jesus drops a bombshell and makes a very specific prediction. Now, before we read it, understand he's putting it all on the line. If this prediction of Christ, which was in their future and now is in our past, was not accurate, then Jesus cannot be trusted when he speaks of other future events. However, if what he says happened as he said it would happen, then we can trust his word on all future events. Okay, so with that in mind, verse 2. He said, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone will be left here upon another that will not be thrown down. So not only is Jesus saying the temple will no longer be here, but he is saying it's going to be dismantled stone by stone. Now here's the question. Did this happen historically? Well, absolutely. And there are many historical sources that back this up. It happened in 70 AD when Roman General Titus rolled into Jerusalem. Interestingly, he gave the command that the temple was to not be destroyed. However, as fire spread through the city and rose upward toward the Temple Mount, the heat became so intense that the gold overlays on the Temple Mount melted between the cracks, and as the Roman soldiers were pillaging the city, they wanted to get this gold. Thus, every stone was taken down to retrieve it, and not one stone was left upon another. So the fulfillment of that prophecy was 100%. Now, with this in mind, now Christ speaks of our future. This is our past, what he just referenced. But now the rest of what he says is our future, what is still I had. Now, I'm not going to go through Matthew 24 verse by verse. I'm going to go through it event by event in a chronological order. So now I'm going to kind of fast forward to the next event, as I said, that I believe is on the prophetic calendar, which is the rapture of the church. And in the opening statement about it, Christ warns against date setting. Look at verse 36. But of that day and hour, no one knows but my Father only. As the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Two men will be in a field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also should be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. We'll stop there. Okay, so here's often the pushback that we get on this topic. Why can't you find the word rapture in the Bible? Yeah, well, you talk about the rapture. Show me where the rapture is in the Bible. I'll show you where the rapture is. Yeah, what about the word rapture? Okay, show me where the word Bible is in the Bible. Show me where the word Trinity is in the Bible. Guess what? They're not there. Is the teaching of the Trinity in the Bible? Absolutely. Is the authority of Scripture taught in the Bible? No question about it. But I'm just making a point there. The fact of the matter is this. You do have the word rapture in your Bible if you read a Latin translation. Does anybody have a Latin translation? I don't think so. Well, see, because rapture is the Latin word rapturus. It's a translation of the Greek word harpazo. So when we talk about the rapture, it's the Greek word harpazo. But if I start calling it the harpazo, you won't know what I'm talking about. So I'll go back to that default word, rapture. But actually, it is not an incorrect translation of harpazo. It means to take forcibly, to snatch, or to catch up. To take forcibly, to snatch, or to catch up. And it's used 13 times in the New Testament. So this teaching of people being caught up, snatched, or removed quickly, that's taught many times in the Bible. Probably the definitive scripture on it, where the word harpazo is used, is 1 Thessalonians 4. When it says, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remaining shall be caught up, harpazo, caught up to meet them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So that's what the rapture is.
Pastor Greg Laurie with some good insight on what's coming during the last days. And he has more to come as we take a chronological look at the way the events will unfold during the end times. That's next time with more insight on the rapture and how we can all be properly prepared for the moment when we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Hope you can join us same time on Monday. Now, for a copy of Pastor Greg's full message from today, get in touch with Vision Christian Store. It was called Ready or Not, Here I Come. Just go to visionstore.org.au or call 1-800-00-5011. Station sponsor.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.